Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to our Tuesday night Bible study. We are so glad and excited that each and every one of you that is listening on tonight decided to join us. On behalf of our pastor and First Lady, Bishop Omar Zachary and Lady Zachary, we welcome you to Praise Tabernacle Church Tuesday night Bible study. We encourage you to get your Bible, to get paper and a pencil or pen to take notes on tonight. It's great to take notes so you can always go back and study the word for yourself. Don't just take our word for it, but go back and study the scriptures and the things that we say on tonight, and see how God would like for you to apply them to your life. I like to call our Bible study couch talk because it's just us sitting around talking and discussing the Word of God and how to apply it to our lives on today. And that's just the real of it. So we are just so excited that each and every one of you decided to join us on tonight. Wherever you are listening at, we are glad for our panel on tonight. We have Evangelist Ricky Bluett, Elder Bluett. We also have Elder Oliver. And on tonight we have one, and myself, I'm sorry, Evangelist Stanton, Dove Stanton, and Elder Richard Taylor, which is actually going to be our teacher on tonight. I'm so excited to hear Elder Taylor bring the word forward because he's just real and transparent with it. And I'm so grateful for that because that's how we should be with the word of God. So I am going to say a prayer. And then the next voice that you will hear is that of our own Elder Richard Taylor. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your peace, your love, your joy. We just thank you for light, health, and strength on this day, Lord. We thank you for each and every person that is listening on tonight. Father God, that they would get a word to help them to grow, that they would get a word that once they get off this telephone, they would not be the same way that they came on the telephone to listen to this Bible study. I lift up our teacher to you tonight, Elder Richard Taylor. I pray, Father God, that you would speak in and through him in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray for fresh anointing over his mind, over his thoughts, over his tongue, God. Speak through him with power and authority. We bind the hands of the enemy against him. Satan, we let you know that you have no authority over our teacher, over this study, over those that are listening on tonight. But Father God, we thank you that we walk in the authority in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for the word that is, Father God, let us be changed by this word. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. And Elder Taylor, I will turn it over to you, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, Evangelist Stanley. I appreciate everything that you do with our Bible study and all the everyone that's on the panel tonight. I appreciate your prayers, and as we pray for each other, as we each one of us take a turn going through the Bible study every week, and how we support one another is so important. How we, you know, just undergird each other week in and week out, and so it's just so important. And I just appreciate everyone that is on the panel, everyone that gives their input. Because it really helps the teaching. It really supports the teaching. And, you know, and if we say something wrong, you know, we get each other right in love, you know. So it's no big deal. If we misspeak on something, you know, because we always got the word to back us up. And we can always just share the word with each other. And so, I really appreciate each and every one that's on the panel, everyone that's on tonight, and the flexibility of everyone that I may ask you to do something a little different from week to week, every now and then, and you're real flexible without any issues. So I just want to say I appreciate you, and I love you guys for all that you do on behalf of Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, and everything else you may do throughout the ministry. And I'm sure Bishop Omar Zachary appreciates it as well as the leader of Praise Tabernacle Church. So with that being said, we want to talk about some things tonight that, excuse me, that, you know, I like to say, just, you know, as people that's developing in ministry, people that's growing in ministry, people that is trying to find their way and, you know, and how to be used by God as they continue to grow throughout the ministry, you know, as they go from babes in Christ to senior members, to seniors in the body of Christ, how not to get caught up into certain things. So this word tonight is kind of, this teaching tonight is kind of about, you know, going, you know, we have to be careful in getting caught up in titles.
Amen.
We have to be careful.
Amen.
Because, see, titles are man-made, okay? A lot of titles are man-made. And titles, people can assume that titles carry power, and they don't.
Hmm.
What gives
you need
you
to
the
say,
power...
You need to say that again, Elder.
okay. A lot of people think that titles carry power.
Right.
And I don't care what you call yourself within a ministry or whatever you are, whatever you're doing, ever how you say you want to serve the Lord, whether it be apostle, bishop, evangelist, elder, you know, deacon, minister, those titles carry no power. And so what we have to realize is that, you know, we can get caught up in these titles and have a form of godliness. but denying the power thereof.
Wow.
So that's what we want to talk about tonight for new converts, for people that's thinking about getting into ministry and being led by the way of the Lord into which direction they need to go to serve him, what's best for them, and what's suited for them, or how they can, you know, serve the Lord as they continue to grow and worship in the things of God, you know. So I just want to help us tonight, hopefully encourage someone to really think about it, to really focus on where you want God to lead you in direction as a man or woman or a child of God in your walk with him. And don't be so enamored and caught up within a title. Because what's happening in the body of Christ and what has happened in the body of Christ throughout years, you know, these people get caught up, you know, in apostles and, you know, and priests, and the Catholic Church is really, you know, about titles. And, you know, so a lot of people get caught up in these things, and they look the part. They look the part in public,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have the ability or the power to fight against the trials of the enemy. And when we hear of things that a bishop gets caught up in, the misconduct of that an elder may get caught up in, or a Catholic priest, what they call them? Help me out, y'all. I can't find the word. The Catholic.
You said the Catholic priest.
Yeah, the Catholic. What they call them?
The Pope.
There you go. I just couldn't think of
Thank
it for some
you.
Reason. But the things that, you know, people get caught up in and get enamored with the Pope, and think that because he's a Pope that he's supposed to, or, you know, have all of this power. But that's not necessarily true.
Right.
You know, that's not necessarily true. Or because you've been ordained a bishop, you know, that's not necessarily true. It's what gives us the power and the anointing to go through life and to deal with the things that we're going to deal with that comes with being in a title. It's going to be your relationship with the Lord,
yeah.
and how we interact from our spirit man into how we interject the Lord into our lives on a daily basis, not every now and then. Not every now and again, but how we allow the Lord to come into our lives and maintain a relationship with him, so that mentally we can hear and see in the spirit where he's trying to take us and what he's trying to
right.
do with us and what he's trying to do within us, so that we can grow and maintain the power that it's going to
yeah.
take for us to be victorious. And obtain the Holy Ghost is what gives you the power and understand, and which gives you, will give you wisdom, will give you knowledge, will give you understanding of what he's trying to say to us in the Word.
Right.
Okay. So in 2 Timothy is where we're going to go, the third chapter. You know, you may hear me say, you know, use terms like discerning, apostasy, you know, reproach, you know, things like that you may hear me speak on tonight as we go through the study. But we want to go over to the third chapter of 2 Timothy, and here Paul is talking to young Timothy, who's a young minister who's under the tutelage of Paul, and who Paul is kind of learning and teaching the ways, you know. And when you come into ministry, you know, when you accept the Lord into your life and, you know, and you want to grow in the things of God and you want to start, begin to do things to help other people, you know, to spread the love of Jesus Christ, you need to ask the Lord, what avenue does he want us to, or wants you to travel down? Because everybody's not meant to be a deacon. Everybody's not meant to be an evangelist. Everybody's not meant to be an elder or apostle or bishop or whatever the case may be. You could just be right. Brother Taylor.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but you have to have something that's going to help you go through the process and learn and be teachable and be humble to get us through. You know, and that's for everybody. I don't care what you call yourself or what level you think you're on. It's for everybody. Because there's great men and women that has been cast down and brought down that call themselves whatever they did or whatever their names were throughout the body of Christ, throughout hundreds of years, 20 years ago, have been brought down because they've been made to look a fool in the eyes of the people by the enemy, whether it be caught up in adultery, you know, stealing money from the church, whatever the case may be, they get caught up in. Because they had no power to help sustain them. But they're so caught up in the title. So we can't be so caught up in a title to let the title misguide us and believe that power comes with a title when it doesn't at all. And we cannot be so caught up in that. So young people that's coming into the ministry and starting to grow and learn and find their way, you know, we can't be so caught up in a title to where we get lost in the title, you know, and forget about what's going to keep us. And so Paul is teaching Timothy here in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, and then he's talking about the coming of apostasy here in these first few verses. And apostasy, and it's spelled A-P-O-S-T-A-S-Y. And I spell it one more time. It's A-P-O-S-T-A-S-Y. And what that means is the abandonment or renunciation of a religious belief, whatever you may believe, the abandonment or renunciation of whatever you may believe. And Paul is going here in the first verse. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And it seems like in the past year or so, we've been really living in some perilous times throughout the world. It seems like it's gotten worse than it's ever been. It's in the past couple of years. And so Paul is getting Timothy's attention. He said, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come." And in my Bible, perilous, there's another definition, and it means dangerous. Verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." See, a title, whatever you call yourself, is not going to cannot protect you against those things.
Right.
A title cannot keep you from succumbing to those things that we just read. You can still get caught up in your own self because I'm Bishop Taylor. I can do X, Y, Z because I'm a bishop. You know, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient. Disobedient to who? Disobedient to God. From what he's directing you and telling you to do. All right? Anybody that's on tonight, just interject, just jump right in. You know, if you need something you got to say, you like to interject at that point, say, just call me out and say you'd like to say something, and I'll let you go with it.
I'd like to say something. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Wow, this is a great scripture on tonight. When I was looking at the lesson and I read that perilous time, and, you know, you were talking about dangerous times, the two words that came to me was, number one, being humble. Because, like you said, titles don't mean power, and the authority is in the title. Now, I mean, we, you know, respect, you know, people in the ministry who, you know, say that, you know, they're bishop or whatever. We have respect for them, but being humble is a huge part of ministry.
Yes.
And Jesus gave us the greatest example of that. And then the other thing I noticed was the perilous times was losing self-control, because that's a lot what happens is, and we know self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So it's like when you want to do those things, when you want to walk those things out, you've got to have self-control in Christ. You've got to bring your mind and your thoughts under subjection under the Word of God and test
yes.
it against the Word of God, you know.
Yes.
And if it doesn't line up with what the Word of God says, then you need to cast it down. I mean,
that's right.
You need to cast it down if it does not line up with the Word of God. So we have got to have self-control and be humble so that you can remain under the authority of Christ to walk it out daily.
Right.
So thank you. This is a great lesson on tonight. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Those are good points to be made. And, you know, they that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And so we all that wants to do the will of the Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord God, we have to have an ear to hear what he is saying, what his Spirit man is saying to our spirit man. And that will keep us humble, because when we become proud and boastful, we tend to lose that connection
right.
with the Lord, because all we hear is our own thoughts.
Yeah.
We begin to hear only us, because we allow our flesh to get in the way. And the flesh is not going to agree with the Spirit, with the Holy
right.
Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. It'll never agree. You know, so because we're trying to go places, we're trying to please man and not the Lord, you know, we begin to say, well, that's okay. You know, we begin
right.
to condone stuff that we know is wrong in the eyes of God, you know. And so that's why I want to go here, because we young people in ministry trying to move, trying to grow, we have to be careful. We have to be careful who we sit up under. You know, we have to pray that we sit up under good leadership, a good truth, Bible teaching, leadership, and ministry like we do here at Praise Tabernacle Church. Surround yourself with people that you believe and that's teaching and preaching the truth according to the Word. And that's why it's important that we get into the Word and learn the Word for ourselves, so that
Amen.
When we hear something that's contrary against what the Word is saying, we'd be like, wait a minute, that don't sound right. I don't think that's saying it in my Bible, on those scriptures. Because people that know that their people in that ministry is not really Bible students, they don't really study, they can tell you anything. They can tell you that the sun rises in the west and sets on the east, and you'd be sitting there going, amen. You know, so we have to know better to do better. Amen. So verse 4
amen.
Says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God. And we're not talking about just anybody in ministry. We're not just talking about the average brother and sister that come to church, you know, every now and then. We're talking about apostles. We're talking about bishops. We're talking about, you know, pastors. People of the fivefold ministry, prophets, teachers. That's what I was talking about tonight. Those kind of people in ministry. And I don't care what denomination it is that you call yourself to be up under. You can find yourself in these situations. So we have to understand what the Spirit of the Lord is telling us as an individual person, as we connect with other people, what he's telling you, what he's telling Richard Taylor. Not Elder Taylor, but what he's telling Richard Taylor. Because I was Richard before I was anything. You know, you was who your mama named you and your daddy named you before you was ever an evangelist, ever an elder,
right.
Ever, you know, a prophetess, whatever you call yourself.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 5. Having a form, see, and this, I love this right here. It says, having a form of godliness. You look the part. You smell the part. You act like the part. That's having a form of godliness. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
Yeah.
What power are we talking about here? The power of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Denying the power that's going to teach you right.
Right.
The power that's going to bring you against your own flesh and tell people about them and be able to tell people with confidence about themselves. Because you know you live in the right way. Regardless of who you are. Let me read verse 5 again. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Again, this is Paul speaking with Timothy. Young Timothy, he's talking about the coming of apostasy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I got verse 1 through 17. I don't know if we're going to get to 17 or not, but we're going to try, okay? So verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. You know, and so, and I believe what verse 6 is saying here is how it's so easy people can get tricked. Not just silly women, but anybody. How people can get tricked by wordplay and how people can get tricked into doing certain things throughout the body of Christ.
Right.
And this is how, you know, you see these cults, how people are controlled and manipulated in cults, mind control. You know, people like David Koresh, you know, what he did to those people and many others, you know. You know, they look the part, they smell the part, they you know, and so they because you got people with itchy ears.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, you got people that's looking for something.
Yeah.
People that likes the sound of how a certain person teaches or preaches, or you know, and whatever they say, you know, they got sugar on it. and it sounds good to them. And once they know that they've got you, then you're easily manipulated into doing whatever they want you to do, whether you be a man, a woman, or a child, because this person has a form of godliness and the ability to manipulate you as a person. All right? Any questions? Anybody want to add anything?
If I could, real quick, I remember growing up in the youth choir, you know, back in the day. We had a youth choir, and our youth choir was like between the ages of 13 to 21. And our pastor probably back then was in his early 30s, maybe 28, 30, early 30s. But every year they would have what they call the youth revival, and he would bring in a young minister. And what happened is every year the expectation of that young minister was there was going to be a young lady from the youth choir to go to his hotel. And, wow. I mean, you know, it looked, you know, they looked like they were men of God, you know, around the church, you know, all the young people came because, you know, he was a good-looking man. So, you know, a lot of young people would come to church. But the expectation was one of the young women from the choir would go to the hotel to meet him. And I can remember one time the pastor had called me and had told me to go out to the hotel. And I was like, for what? And he was like, you know what for. And I was like, no way. But you saw that, the pastor. But you saw that I saw that in a lot of churches as I was growing up. You know, the pastor having relationship with the people in the church, with women in the church. And I had read this somewhere a long time ago. If a shepherd has relations with the sheep, that's bestiality.
That's a good point.
If the shepherd has relationship, pastor that has a relationship with anybody in his church, which is considered his sheep, they're committing bestiality. Not, you know, not just fornication, not just adultery, because more than likely they're married, but bestiality. So we have to really, as people who saying that they've been called by God,
right,
you better make sure that you are examining what you're doing. And I wrote this down, Elder, when I was looking at this earlier, I wrote this down. Man tries to cover up the rewards of his sin by wearing the appearance of godliness.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Man tries to cover up the rewards of his sin by wearing the appearance of godliness. Like you were saying, you look the part. But where is the power and authority? Now, don't get me wrong, because the name of Jesus carries authority itself. The name of Jesus itself. You know, so, you know, you may be casting out, you may be laying hands on the sick and the sick recover, but where is that, where is the power, where is the true authority at? It's in the name of Jesus. It's not coming from you. And God will hold you accountable.
Oh, yeah.
He will hold you accountable.
You want to pay one way or the other.
Yes.
For the deeds that we do in this flesh, in this body.
Yes. Amen.
So whether, no matter what you call yourself, you can just be brother or sister. We're going to be held accountable.
Yes, sir.
And so we have to, you know, well, let's go to verse 7. Verse 7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And I was like, wow, verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. How are we ever learning but never coming into truth? I don't know. That ain't came to me yet. I haven't figured that out yet. But hopefully the Holy Spirit will help me get an understanding of what that verse means. Ever learning and never coming. You know, maybe could it be because we're just doing it, we're just going through the motion.
Mm-hmm.
We're just doing it so people can see we doing something, but don't really care about it.
Right.
So we're gonna read it out loud, but we're still gonna do what we wanna do.
Right.
Maybe that's what it's saying. I'll read this with you, I'll read this to you, but I'm still gonna do what I wanna do.
Hmm. Right. Or being under.
I just need you to do as I say, not as I do.
Right. Or even being under the Word of God, being under someone who is teaching, but yet you still go out and allow your flesh to do anything. You're hearing it. But you don't come into the knowledge of truth because you won't allow yourself to be changed. You won't allow your mind to be brought under subjection. You won't allow the Word of God to penetrate your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So you hearing it, but you won't allow your heart for you to change.
Yep. That's a good point. That's a very good point. So,
hey, Elder Taylor.
Yes, sir.
Just one comment. So, great scripture, great path you're on right now. You know, today we can see so much more now in the world, you know, versus before we had social media and these phones or whatnot and the internet. But we can see so much now that it always existed, but it just seemed like now things are so, over the top. People killing people, husbands and boyfriends killing the girlfriend and wives and the children and vice versa. There's just so much going on, and these are examples of the last time, of the last period we'll have on earth. These are examples of things to come where men are being given over to a reprobated mind, meaning God has given up on that person to go ahead and continue to do the things that are unseemly, things that are not even thought of, so corrupt, and people are doing that right now. So I've always had a heavy heart for people that get hurt by another person. Because God has forgiven us, we have to forgive everybody and treat everybody like God treats us. But these verses right here are plainly telling us how it is now and how it will be. And we yet still have people that are in a study, that people are under teachers, that people that are going to church every time the door opens or in any session outside of the church to learn something and how to walk this life, always learning, but never able to come to the truth, you know. So I got a guy at work that knows the Bible inside and out. He can quote any scripture. He can also talk about the negative of how the Bible was wrote and everything else. So he has all of the history of it, but he can't come to a conclusion. He can't come to the truth. So we got to be careful what we think we know and what we know that we know. We need to put it into practice and make it a habit. And that's how we can not fall into these scriptures now. So it's an urgent time right now. It really is. It's an urgent time right now to everybody listening, myself included, to slow down and just meditate on the Word of God as you have time, and also create time to do it. But we have to slow down. We have to be careful. There are things going on right now that we should be able to discern, and we're not, because we're on a pace to corruption. We're on a pace to end our own lives and existence. So, this is a great lesson, man. Appreciate it.
So, Elder Blewett, I have a question for you. Your friend, your brother at work that you work with, that you say knows the scriptures inside and out of the Bible. What is it that you, in your estimation, thinks that he's never coming into the learning of the truth?
Well, to think about him, he's a very smart person. He's a person that's against all kind of stuff. He knows about things of the world, I'll put it that way, government, all kind of stuff. And he's very adamant about not taking medicines but anyway, me and him had several conversations until I just came to the conclusion I'm not going to go back and forth with him anymore. But he just will not, and he knows the Word inside and out, but he would not come to a conclusion that there is a Jesus Christ. And that's funny, because he talks about it, but he don't believe it. There is a situation where we all can learn so much, and we mess up ourselves so much of the information that we have taken in that we cannot put out a conclusion of what we know. We have to be careful. That's why it's step by step and inch by inch that we should proceed in this life, and come to a conclusion on every step so that we can move forward to learn more. But he's a detriment to himself, that he cannot come to a conclusion of all the things that he knows. So right now he's confused. I know it's not just his flesh, but it's also because he knows so much. I want to say that the devil is messing with him not to come to a conclusion. And some people, the devil don't want them to come to the conclusion of what God is all about, why
right.
Jesus is our Savior. So that's where he's at right now.
Well, see, that's where I believe that, you know, forever learning, you know, like the scripture we talked about, it was at 7, but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. You can know so much and learn so much about the Word of God, but can't decipher or discern what you believe to be true. I believe that, based off of what I know from the Word, that the only thing that's going to give us that ability to do that is the Holy Spirit. Because our flesh and our own intellectual thoughts can't deliver you. Because we can get in situations where no matter what we know, we can't get out of it. In our situations, based on what we do know, we can. So those are good points that you made. And somebody that could be listening tonight to find themselves in that kind of situation, you know. But It's not about your title.
That's good. That's good.
Verse, where we at?
Verse 8.
Now, as Jannes and Jambres, I'm not sure who they are, withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So obviously these were people that came up against Moses during Moses' walk with the Lord, and when Moses was prevalent during his time. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And the word reprobate has a T beside it in my Bible, which is kind of like counterfeit. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So a lot of things that people are doing is going to be brought to light. It's going to be made obvious. It's going to be made obvious. Okay? So verse 10, and now we're going to get into where Paul is basically going to be telling Timothy how to confront apostasy. And remember, earlier we said that the word apostasy means the abandonment or renunciation of a religious belief, okay? Giving up on a religious belief of which you know to be true, which you know to be right. And verse 10 says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. And this is what he's telling me, Paul, Timothy. But I'm going to read verse 10 again. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. This is where you can tell who's real and who's not. Who's true and who's not. Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. He's sharing examples now,
right,
with Timothy, on how to confront apostasy. How to deal with people, you know, seeing what they've gone through, seeing what you know they've been through. Okay? Verse 12, yea, and all that will live that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so verse 10, wait a minute, let me see. Yeah, verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. See, what Paul is describing to us, and he's also speaking to Timothy, at this time, Paul is in a jail cell in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
He's in prison right now, and he's still writing these books. But what he's telling us, in this letter to Timothy, is that not only did Paul teach Timothy, you know, like we try to teach others and ourselves, but Timothy followed Paul in his ministry and saw firsthand what Paul described of his manner and who he is and his doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, and afflictions. Timothy saw this. He was an eyewitness who was the first bishop Paul ordained, is learning this firsthand, and we're reading this. And it's important that the people we get with, the churches we go to, who's the pastor or the leader of that church, or even in our jobs, leaders in our jobs, leaders in life, it's important that we observe.
Yes.
To not get pulled in to something that's not for us. It's important that we observe, you know. So it's better to believe a person by their actions and not just merely their words. But it's important to get in a Bible-believing teaching church with leaders that you don't have to guess about, you know.
Right.
Do leaders make mistakes? Yeah, they do make mistakes sometimes, and all kinds of mistakes. But we as people in the flesh, we have to forgive one another.
Right.
If a preacher was perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus. So
right.
We be careful who we follow. And Paul is setting an example of himself, how Timothy followed him. And he's teaching us what Timothy saw in person. And it's very important. Go ahead, Doc.
Well, you said something that is key to me. And it's not about if you make a mistake. It's not about when you make a mistake, because we're flesh. So we're all going to make a mistake from time to time, but it's what we do when that mistake happens.
Yeah.
Do we come forward with it and confess it, or do we try to hide it and cover it up?
Right.
See, that's what gets me, is that because you don't want to be caught in a situation or a circumstance, but if you come forward with it, and just be honest from the beginning, that covers you. And like you said, Elder Blewett, people of the Lord got to forgive you. They got to continue to love you. You know, if they understand who Jesus is and they understand what the word says. You know, because we all will make a mistake from time to time. Because we live it. We're going through life.
Right.
And we're still flesh
yeah,
and blood.
Yeah, so, yeah, but let's don't get stuck on people making mistakes. Because right here is very important in verse 10 about people that we follow. We all follow somebody, you know. But people that we follow and how they conduct themselves, how they treat other people, and we see it, and which is what Timothy saw. He saw the manner of life of Paul. And his
right.
faith, his long suffering. He saw him prosecuted. He saw that out of it all, God delivered him out of everyone, which mm-hmm. Paul mentions. So it's good to have somebody in your life, if you can, that not just follow them for who, you know, there are people, you know, they're a person like you, but there are people that we can follow and learn from. And,
right.
and we should be able to humble our, the problem is we can't humble ourselves to, to let others see us following somebody else. So we have to,
mm-hmm.
I pray that everybody would find somebody in their life they can call at any time of the day or night, anybody that would help them at any time, and just persuade them to be better. It's always somebody better
yeah.
than us, always. There's always somebody better than each and every one of us. And there are people that are truly living to the expectation of God. We just have to be careful in who we latch on to. So.
Right. Good point. Another good point, Brother Blewett. Okay, verse 12 says, are we running out of time yet?
It's about 7:54.
Okay. All right. So.
You can keep going.
Verse 12 reads, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay? That's what he's saying. All that live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to suffer persecution. All right? Verse 13, but evil men and seducers, imposters, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, going from bad to bad. You know, deceiving people, making other people bad. You know, but they look the part. They have a form of godliness. But this is going to happen. But evil men, all right? Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Okay, verse 14, I'm going to read that again. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Know who you're being taught by. Continue to learn the scriptures so it doesn't sound strange when you hear certain things. Well, if it does sound strange when you hear certain things, it's because maybe somebody's telling you something wrong, and it don't agree with your spirit. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Where did it come from? What was the source? Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make the wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. Okay? Verse 15 again. And that from a child that has known the holy scriptures. And not as a child just in terms of a little kid, but a child in faith, a babe in Christ. Okay? So since you've been a babe in Christ, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So it gives you wisdom unto salvation because you understand what the word is telling you. Okay? Faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of who? Of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more self-explanatory you can get than that. All. Now, it don't say some.
Right.
Or some here and there. It says all scripture.
Amen.
It's given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, we got there. Verse 17, last verse. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works.
Amen.
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 You know, that the man of God may be perfect. Perfect in what? Perfect in all his good works. Perfect in what he teaches and believes through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Perfect as you can get through the flesh. The early furnished unto all good works. Are we perfect as a person, as people, as flesh and blood? No. But we can be in the spirit of Jesus Christ based on what he teaches us and what he gives us. You know, so hopefully, you know, somebody got something out of this tonight and that they can use personally for themselves. And that they can also share with somebody that they know that can use it.
Hopefully you wrote down some key points from Elder Bluett, from Evangelist Stanton, or from myself that you can use, that you can also share with someone else. Because this is what it's all about, people, whoever is listening tonight, wherever you are, whatever part of the world you're listening, whatever part of the United States you're listening from, this is what it's about. It's about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth, acknowledging what the word is saying unto us, and being able to share what we believe in the spirit with each other and grow from it, learn from it. And that which we don't get or understand, let's get an understanding. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach us what the word is saying. You know, we don't have to argue this word. We don't have to go through all of that stuff with each other. You know, I would never, I ain't gonna say never. I would try not to debate the word of God, these scriptures.
Amen.
You know, you have to believe, you have to understand what the scriptures is telling us.
Amen.
Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. So, that's it. I am done. Do anybody from the panel like to share anything before we get Evangelist Stanton to close us out?
Yes, real quick.
Go ahead.
Well, just real quick, the God, good word. The word perfect in this scripture is just, we have everything to complete. It's me complete. We have everything to go through. We're equipped with everything that this word has. The word of God has everything that we need to fight this good fight of faith. You know, it's no excuse. It's no excuse. Okay, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, because we're not willing to change. We have to change. We have to be willing to change.
That's
and
right.
Being perfect, we have to be complete in this word. Be complete with God. With our thoughts, with our actions, in love. If we just learn that, just that one simple word, just that one, we'll be complete. We'll be perfect in all of our in everything. If we just learn that one thing, just learn how to love.
All right. Anybody else before we let Evangelist Stanton close us out? All right. Well, again, as always, I appreciate and I love everybody that's on the panel, everybody that tunes in and week out and give their support, give their input and sharing. And like I like what Evangelist Stanton says, you know, we're just sitting around on the couch and talk. You know, and I think that's what helps people tune in and like to listen, because we're not speaking over nobody's head. You know, and trying to be all sound all deep about everything, every word that come out of our mouth. Well, people are more confused after they done listened to us than they was before they ever, you know, tuned in. So, and that's our goal. That is our objective, to make it comfortable, easy listening for everybody with the truth of the gospel through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You know, and all of our getting get an understanding. And so that's what we want to do with our Praise Tabernacle Tuesday Bible study. Is allow people to get an understanding of what the Spirit of the Lord is sharing with us. as an individual, as a panel, as a church. That's what we want to do. And just know that Jesus loves us all. He came and he died so that we can have life everlasting. You know, so I'm going to close right there. I'm going to turn it back over to the hands of our own evangelist, Del Stanton.
Thank you so much, Elder Taylor. Awesome, great lesson on tonight. Wonderful food for thought that we can take this week and just chew on it. And thank you so much, everybody on the panel, for your comments. Wrote down some wonderful and great notes that we can go back later and listen to. I do want to just give a few announcements before we close out. I just want to remind everyone of our email address that we have. It is for you guys. You can send in your testimony. You can send in your praise report, your praise request, or if there's a subject that you want us to study and talk about on one of our Bible studies, we're willing to do that. I mean, if there's anything that you're interested in, give it to us so we can study as a panel and talk about it. So our email address is ptcforchrist@gmail.com. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, forchrist@gmail.com. Send us an email. You don't have to feel funny or we're going to judge who you are sending us the request. That does not matter to us. We don't know a lot of people by their emails anyway. So just send it to us. We are here praying with you, praising God with you, and just ready to, you know, help you in any kind of way that we can. I would also like to mention, yes, sir.
Can I interrupt you there for a quick second? You know,
sure.
We won't bring your name up as part of, you know, wanting to go over a specific subject or anything unless you say it's okay in the email for us to mention your name.
Exactly.
So if you don't want us to mention your name in the email as someone that's requesting to go over a certain topic or anything, prayer request, whatever it is, you know, whatever your email is about, if you don't want us to mention your name and bring your name up, just say, I prefer that you do not mention my name.
Or
it's okay to mention my name. Either way, and we will proceed with your request.
Amen.
Okay?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Thank you, Elder. I would also like to mention we are. I think this is going to be the second revival for Blog Talk Radio, if I'm not mistaken. It will start on this Friday, July 30th, at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. It will also be on Sunday, August the 1st, at 9 a.m. and at 6 p.m. on Sunday, August the 1st, on Blog Talk Radio. And then the last night will be on Monday, August the 2nd, at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, I think this is the second revival for Blog Talk Radio this Friday, July 30th at 7 p.m., Sunday, August the 1st, 9 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then Monday, August the 2nd, 7 p.m. You definitely want to tune in. You don't want to miss this revival. Elder Oliver has set up some great speakers that is going to give awesome word and encouragement. So please tune in. Once again, we just are so excited that each and every one of you decided to join us on this Tuesday. We pray that you got a word that would just go with you and let you allow you to look at things differently in the Word of God. And as we always say, Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even of the world. Have a blessed and wonderful evening, and have a great week. Thank you for joining us, and good night. Amen.
Amen. Good night.